In the Lord's house this morning. Amen.
Yes.
We'll be reading one verse out of Revelation chapter number 1. Then we'll be preaching out of chapter 2 and chapter 3. But in the process of getting there, we'll be reading just some small portions from a number of verses in the Word of God. And trust the Lord to help us. We'll be reading out of chapter 1, reading verse number 3 this morning. Then, Lord willing, we'll pray. Trust the Lord to help us today. I'm preaching on the battle of Christianity, the battle that the Christian is in. Every saint of God is in a battle. I want to use verse 3 to understand that this book that we're going to be preaching out of is a prophetic book. That means it is foretelling the future. It is speaking prophetically about things that are yet to come. Amen. Though that we look at the Word of God numerous times, it may be written about present day events, yet with a prophetic message. And even in chapter 2 and 3, those churches did exist at the time of this writing.
Sure.
But it's a prophetic message because God said this book is a book, is a book of prophecy. Verse number 3 says in chapter 1, "Blessed is he that readeth." That's what we done the other night in this book. And we'll finish Monday night, Lord willing. "And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we bow to you this morning. Lord, as we have learned in your word, without you we can do nothing. And so we would be absolutely foolish to endeavor to try to do something without your help. But we also excited because you said we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." And so, Lord, we don't have to fear. We can just stand here today knowing that you will assist in everything your people do that trust you for their help, your help. And I praise you for that. Lord, every heart here today has a need. We may not know them ourselves, but you know every one of them. And Lord, you're able to recognize exactly how to touch every one of those needs. We pray for not only our people here, but people around the world that will sit in the house of God today, and some already have, to receive something from your word. You will not fail us because you're an unfailing God. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In reading the verse, it says this is a prophetic verse or a prophetic book or prophetic words. Amen. In chapter number 2 and chapter number 3, he gives us 7 churches and issues about those churches. From those 2 chapters, I want to preach on the battle of the believer in our day. I want to give you some verses about the fact that we're in a war. We're not going to be in a war. We're in a war. Sometimes people say, if you're not in a war today, you will tomorrow. No, you're in one today. You woke up in one this morning, amen? When Jesus gave parables, he often gave numerous illustrations about the kingdom of God. And one of those, he said, it's like a king going to war. And he looks and he counts his army, and I give you the parable in the sense of it. And he looks at the enemy, and the enemy is much outnumbered him. And so he knows he needs an ambassador. He needs a go-between. He needs someone to help, amen, to settle this situation. May I say to you this morning, if you think you can run this battle by yourself, you've made a bad mistake. And if you think you can outwit, outwhoop, outdo the devil, you've made another bad mistake. Because the devil's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And he has devoured many, amen. God, throughout the Scripture, deals with the Christian life again and again and again as a fight and a war. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4, he says, we don't war after the flesh. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. He talks about a battle that we're in, a conflict. 1 Timothy 1:18, he's speaking to Timothy, says that thou mightest war a good warfare. He's writing to this young man of God that he will be a soldier in chapter number 1, that you might war a good warfare. In James chapter 4, The Bible says in verses 1 and 2, there's a war in our members. There's a conflict literally in our body, amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, he says there's fleshly lust which war against the soul. So we have a battle on the outside. We have a battle on the inside. There's a battle all around us, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he announces that in order to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we can't be entangled. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. It lets us know that to be accurate or to be successful in battle, you can't be wrapped up in everything else. Amen.
Right.
Romans chapter 7, verse 23 speaks of a war in our mind. Warring against the law of our mind. Our mind is pursuing serving God and living for the Lord and keeping His word. And yet there's a battle going on in our mind. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said, I fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. He is enduring to go forward, at 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I fought a good fight. He has kept the faith. He's went forward for God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, he says to those believers, you've endured a great fight of affliction. There's numerous verses about battling. If you start in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve entered a battle. Satan entered the garden and Eve entered a conflict.
Right.
Wasn't long till Adam was in the conflict and his family's in the conflict. And the conflict has never ended, amen. The battle goes on and on and on and on. In these churches we're reading about in chapter 2 and 3, there's battles in every one of them. If this is a prophetic book, and I believe it is, it will tell us something about the battles that we're going to be in the day we live. Amen. Battles are everywhere. There's no place to hide from them. Amen. If you're a saved individual, if you're serving God, if you're living for Christ, you're going to be in a battle. If you are saved and you're not in a battle, you've already been defeated. You've already been captured, overcome by the enemy. And the Bible speaks much about not being overcome. Don't be overpowered. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overcome by all these other things. Amen. So this morning, if we look at these seven churches, I believe we can receive a lot of things. But I believe that we can at least glean one issue from every church that we're going to be in a conflict with. There's going to be a battlefield that you and I are going to have to deal with as we live our life out in this world. Amen. In the first church, it's the church of Ephesus. In verse number 4, we'll not read all the verses because it'd be reading two whole chapters. It'd be impossible to do and still have time to get you to listen. Amen. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I believe without any doubt in my mind in this book, amen, understanding the Word of God, that the first battle that is presented in this list is a battle of keeping our love right with God. I don't think you'll ever go forward or have any success in any other conflict if you lose grip of your love for God. Matter of fact, your love for the Bible, your love for the church, your love for the brethren, your love for your own life in serving the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to be on the pendulum that you love God. Matter of fact, that is the first commandment in devotion I set out this morning. There's no commandment above the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And the second is like, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So God is saying to us, this is such a center point of focus of importance. Amen. If you and I will work at getting this right and keeping it right in our life, there's a good possibility that we will be able to accomplish many other conflicts in this battle. No one has ever been a good soldier who wants to be absent without leave. Amen. No one has ever been a good soldier who wants to be a traitor, amen. No one has ever been a good soldier who has no desire to fight for what the captain has told him to fight for. God is saying to us, we're in a battle, and one of the battles is keeping ourselves in the love of God. I've been saved a long time, and I can understand. I understand you can read the Bible and not want to be doing it. I can understand you can be sitting in the house of God and wish you somewhere else. I can understand that you can be a lot of things you're not supposed to be, and you don't deal with it when you ought to deal with it. God's Word teaches us that loving God prevents a lot of these other problems. Amen.
Amen.
If I'm not in love with God, I'll not be in love with His Word. Amen. If I'm not in love with God, I certainly will not be in love with prayer. If I'm not in love with God, I'll certainly not be in love with this place that He's given us that we can come and be set apart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
This morning, you're going to battle from here till Jesus comes, keeping yourself in the love of God.
Yes.
It is going to be a conflict, but you've got to make up your mind. Matter of fact, I believe it enters into every area of your life, your marriage, your home, your parents, everything about your life. You've got to focus on being right with God. Every balance of your life will be balanced on the pendulum of whether you're in love with God and love with the things of God. God doesn't need someone to be off in the shadows that we heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He doesn't need someone that's a secret agent. He needs someone who loves the Lord, and He loves Him with such a love that He wants to represent Him.
Yes.
If you love something, you'll talk about it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. You can stand back in the hallway and find out the loves that a lot of us, as we're standing in the hallway talking, amen. Because there's things going to come out from our heart that we have an interest in, a love in. If that doesn't come out of your life about God and His love for you and the fact He's gave you a life to live, amen, there's something probably absent and missing in your love life. Nothing can be balanced more and put it in the right perspective than your love for God. If you're reading the Bible, and I've read the Bible many, 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 many times, and I've read the Bible through many, many times, amen. But I have read the Scripture simply because I felt it was a necessity, and thank God I did, amen, because it brought me many times to back to saying, Lord, I need to get this thing right with You and get in a love for Your Word again and get this thing anchored right like it's supposed to be, amen. But the fact is this, your life will never be what it ought to be unless you're in love with God, amen. This church had a battlefield, and their first battlefield was loving God. When Paul wrote to them, he wrote about people who loved the Lord sincerely, and he wrote about people who was faithful to God. And in this chapter, in this place, he writes about now a group of individuals who have turned away, or they have forgotten, or they have left their first love. Amen. A battle from here on out is going to be to focus on loving God. I think one of the enemies is going to be all the other things that we have to love. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why should we not love all the things in the world? Because they are not of God. And if we love them, the love of the Father is not in us. We're going to have to constantly refocus our affections. Amen. The Bible says, set your affections on things that are above and not upon things on the earth. That doesn't mean you can't have a garden. It doesn't mean you can't go hunting. It doesn't mean you're not going to trim your grass. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a job. But you've got to be careful where your affection is focused and set on all the time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have affection. We can put it here, put it there. It's just like that book. I can set that book there, but I can set the book here, or I can put this book over here and set it somewhere else. I've got to realize I have the power in my being to focus my love in the direction that it's supposed to be, or I have the ability to be lazy and slothful and let it slide and be focused every other place but where God wants it to be. Love is an issue. It was an issue here with this church, and God brought it up. And if this is a prophetic book, I believe we're living in a day when much of the problem is just like all the prophecies that's written in the last days. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Men will be lovers of their self more than lovers of God. And the Bible talks about the last days. One of the battlefields in the last days will be love. Are you listening this morning? If that is true, and this is prophetic, and it is accurate, and I believe it is, amen, just like Paul writing to Timothy, just like the other records that are saying, that's a battlefield, we better be careful about our love, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't matter whether it's a hobby. It doesn't matter whether it's just a pastime or actually even your job where you work and the things you're responsible for. You're responsible to focus your love on God and His Word and the things of the Lord. And if you're letting everything else in the world capture that love, you're not in love with God. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And those three ingredients, just like they did Eve in the garden, will capture and bring us into bondage. And God is not saying these things to make us a slave. He's saying these things to make us free from being a slave.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Amen. The second church, the church of Smyrna, the issue seems to be loss. Can we overcome loss? Now, in this case, they're going to lose everything before it's over with. Some are going to go to prison. Some are going to be executed. Some are going to have tribulation 10 days, and then they're going to be brought to death. It is going to be a total loss, humanly speaking, for this church. There's no admonition that this church is going to grow. There's no admonition this church is going to be in the highlights of the city. Matter of fact, the whole issue is this church is going to be literally destroyed.
Yes.
Their lives are going to be pillaged by the enemy. Their lives are going to be overwhelmed by tribulation. Their lives are going to be taken such advantage of that some are going to be thrown into prison and then executed. But the Lord said, be faithful anyway. Be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. He said, focus on the fact that you will be delivered from the second death. He said, yes, you're going to have tribulation. Yes, there are going to be many of you killed, put into prison. All those things are going to happen. But he said, listen, you won't have to experience the second death. Amen. We're living in a society now. Why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? He let His Son hang on a cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell, so others could be saved by the grace of God that you get to tell the story to. And hey, God never promised us a life of health and wealth. He promised us eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you handle loss? Can you handle disappointment? Can you handle things not going your way? Can you handle it not turning out the way you want? We've prayed for Lottie for years.
Yes.
It don't always turn out the way we want it to turn out. There's some in here we've prayed for and watched God restore their health, and they're still sitting in the house of God. But there's some's going to not go that way. They're going to be like others, and God's going to take them home. Amen.
Sure.
And we don't always understand, and we may never in this life ever understand.
That's right. Sure.
Amen. I look back on my life. I can't understand all the events of my life. I can't put my finger and say this is why this or that or something else. You talk about being shattered. You say, lay there in the hospital beside your mate and they're dying and you see them crippled and all the things. How many wives, how many husbands are sitting beside their mate in the hospital somewhere today praying, God, let them live, but they're not going to.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you not understand that loss and disappointment is as much of the Christian life as any other person living in the world? God never told us it would be a bed of roses, but He did say, I'll be with you all the way to the end. He told them these bad things are going to happen, but I'll be with you. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Loss is going to be a struggle. I tell you one thing it's going to be, it looks like in these last days, is sickness. We know the Bible talks about perilous times. He talks about all these things that's coming on the earth. We don't know how far we're into this early part of the troubled world. We don't know exactly when everything's going to happen as far as date, as far as moment, as far as hour and second, month or year. But we know one thing. We're approaching the final end of this race. Can you handle disappointment? I told Brother Dave, we was talking in the hallway, I think it was, this morning. I read about a Mexican senator. I think they call him a senator. He just made mention of another politician and said he is a man who acknowledges himself to be a woman. and he made the remark three or four times. They arrested him. They fined him a huge amount of money. He now has to go on social media and apologize for 30 days. Now, what are you going to do and what am I going to do, my friend, when we have to apologize to sodomites and say, you're right, we're wrong? We're not going to do that. That's already happened in Canada. If you preach against that wickedness in Canada, you'll be arrested in Canada.
That's right.
It's already in Europe, amen. We're going to have to decide, can we handle loss? Can we handle giving up things simply for our testimony's sake? We're going to take your home. You know what they're doing? There's people that offend some sodomite and they're winning $300,000 and $400,000 and $500,000 lawsuits.
Yes, that's right.
And it's being carried up to court after court after court, and they're losing their cases and they're having to sell their business and give up their possession to pay for offended reprobates that they're going to have to give their money to. Hey, none of us sitting in this building, my friend, can hold up under that pressure as far as financially.
That's right.
Amen. The saints of God in the early church had to live in caves and rocks and had to find their place in the catacombs and all the other things that they went through while they was persecuted and destroyed, and they lived on for Jesus. We're living here in this country, and you better be able to handle loss.
Yes. Yes.
Someone said on the news this morning, how are they going to handle the Trump situation? They said, we're going to try to bust him financially. They're doing a pretty good job, $360-some million fine for something that's never happened. It's amazing what they can do to you if they want to. And it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're at. My friend, this outfit right here can be swept off its feet in no time by a wicked, ungodly, perverted government. But can we serve the Lord?
Sure.
And the face of loss? Can we go through tribulation? Can we have loss, even possibly imprisonment and loss of life, and go on and serve God and live for the Lord and realize it'll be better someday? It's not going to be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. We come to the third church, the church of Pergamos. Their battle is doctrine. Pureness of the Word of God. Accepting the truth and not accepting anything else. They've already gotten issues in the church, the doctrine of Balaam in verse number 14, and then the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in verse number 15, and it's already corrupted this church and it's drawn it to a defeat, amen. And God is saying to us, how important is doctrine? As Jude wrote, he said he needed to defend, stand in the defense of the faith, standing for it until all the way it's over with. He's writing that last little epistle before we enter the Revelation. He said, we're going to stand for the faith, defend of the faith. Are you willing to stand for the faith at any cost? We heard this morning about being a light set on a hill, a city. Are we willing to be that? Another thing that a city is, when it's a light, it's an easy target.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's easily shot at because it can be seen. Here is a church that God is talking about doctrine. You know what he says in the last days? He said in the last days, there'll be some give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, because there'll be demonic forces, there'll be powers of Satan, and they'll be seducing people's mind, and they will literally accept false heresy, and they ought to be believing and standing for the faith. They may do it on the basis, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. They may do it on some other basis. They may do it that's more popular. They may do it that's more financially gainful to me.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's a battlefield that God has listed in this list of churches, amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Then we find the next church, the church of Thyatira, and their church is a moral issue. Doctrine always leads to immorality. False doctrine leads to immorality, I should say. False doctrine leads to other problems and sins, accepting things that's not right. And by the time we enter the church of Thyatira, we have fornication. We have a woman instructing people in the church. We have a church that's completely outside the boundaries of the guidelines that God placed for the church to be under. Amen. And we're going to have to be in a battlefield. Are we going to accept? Hey, there's people, when someone says to me, so-and-so's mom is a pastor. She's a great preacher. I say, well, I'm glad she's a Christian and she's born again. But God don't call women to preach. Amen. That's got me in a lot of trouble in life. Well, I just assumed to be silent. You think Paul would have been silent? You think John the Baptist would have been silent? I'm talking about not only are we to stand for what's right, the Bible says we're to reprove those things that aren't right. If you act like you accept what they say, they look at you just like they are. Here's a church that's already morally corrupt because of the fact they've not stood for truth, and here they are. Even though there's a handful in this church that may be doing right, and God has said to them, there's a few that's not like everybody else, but God says the overhaul, the overwhelming body of this believing bunch is off-key morally, amen.
Amen.
Don't take long to get off-key morally. There's probably not a person in this building at one moment or another didn't let some little something get in your mind and heart and get you for a moment or whenever off key morally. And you've got to say, that's not right. God don't like that. That's not pleasing the Lord. God don't want that in my heart and mind. And I'm going to do something about it. Amen.
Right. Lord help us. That's right.
And I think from here on out, it's going to be a constant battlefield. One thing is just hearing what people's doing. The Bible says Lot was corrupted by hearing and seeing. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You better watch what you watch even on the news. I don't want a television, amen. Not going on a television if God helps me to keep a right mind. But you better watch what you see, amen. Even though you may be innocent in your mind and say, hey, I don't want no part of that. But you're letting it in your mind through your eye gate. And you can be corrupted by everything you keep hearing and seeing, amen.
That's right.
Amen, amen. It's going to be a battle from here on out. It's already a battle. And then there's another battle, chapter number 3. The church of Sardis, and here's the battle, living a lie. Saying, I'm all right, I'm alive, everything's fine. God said, no, you're not. Here's what the Bible says, verse number 1. And the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, and know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Everybody thinks you're thriving, but you're not. You can fool everybody here, but you can't fool God. You can fool yourself to a degree, but you can't fool God. Boy, it's getting quiet. It doesn't mean you're not sitting in a pew. It doesn't mean you're not active in the service. Doesn't mean you're not in the choir. Doesn't mean you're not taking care of other duties. It means that spiritually you're not right with God. He said everybody says you're alive, but you're not alive. He says there's things you've allowed to die, and he said you better take care of it before what's left alive, all of it dies in your life. I tell you, I've said this for years, and I say it again and again. You better make use of this altar. You better make use of the preaching of the Word of God. You better let it touch you when you're listening, and you better do something about it quickly when God gets your attention and run to God and say, oh, Lord, this has got in my life, and it's bothered me, Lord. You say, why? Because it'll kill you spiritually, and no one may know, and it'll look like you're alive. But this book says, they say you're alive, but you're dead.
Yeah.
Verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. I tell you, there's been times in my life I had to run to an old altar and cry out, oh, Lord, revive my thoughts, my spirit, my heart, my soul.
Amen. Amen.
I learned as a baby Christian, the altar is the place I needed to be. Are you listening to me this morning? Listen. These are the prophecies of the last days. These are the warnings God's given us in this book. He said this is a conflict, a battle, and he's brought up these issues. There were hundreds of churches by this time. But he listed seven. He listed particular issues in every one. He said there was some in this church. They have not dirtied their lives. Verse number 4. That's a few names, even in Sardis. You say, preacher, everybody's living that way. No, everybody's not. There's always been a few that says, I'm going to stay on the altar. I'm going to keep my heart right with God. I'm going to seek His face. I want Him to be pleased with my life. He says to this church, you better revive them things before these other things die in your life. You better do something about it while you got an opportunity. You better listen to God when the preacher brings something up about your life. When the preacher brings up, you better listen because God put a man of God in this place to try to draw your attention to issues. And if you say, it doesn't bother me, it bothered God or He wouldn't have put it in your face. We can excuse anything with our own human reasoning. Human reasoning and leaving the Bible outside the boundary has totally destroyed our nation. Amen. Are we wanting to do the same with our spiritual life inside the body of Christ, inside the church, and let things hang in the balance and not be concerned? God says, you say everything looks fine, but you're not fine. He said there's some things dead and other things are going to die if you don't do something about it.
Yeah.
Amen. Then we come to the next church, the Philadelphian church. It seems to be a following process. He says, what's important here is you better take every opportunity I open the door for you. He said, else someone take your crown. You better remember you can lose your crown. There's no time, I think we heard this morning, there ain't no time to shut down now. No time to quit now. There may be ways we have to change the battlefield. There certainly had to change the battlefield in these communist countries and how they fought. And there's going to be probably more applications if we live on this earth very much longer. There's going to be if that leftist crowd could just shut every church like this down, they'd shut them down today. And we're going to see some things if we stay on this earth long enough. Strengthen those things which are still alive, lest they die too. Do something about it. Because you're going to come into that Philadelphian opportunity. And God's going to open a door. And if you're dead, you ain't going to walk through it. Dead people don't go through doors. He said, I can open doors and nobody can shut them. And I can shut them and nobody can open them. But he said, you listen to me. He said, if you're not careful, you'll lose your crown. Somebody will take your crown. We're at the end of the race. We're at the end of the race. I mean, I'm not the oldest person in the building by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not the youngest in the building by any stretch of the imagination. But I can tell you one thing. I'd be a fool to mess up now. I'd be a fool to throw in the towel now. I mean, I'm over the hill. I'm 10 past, amen. I'm going down the other side of the mountain. But what about you? What if you throw in the towel and Jesus comes the next minute? What if you throw in the towel, Jesse, and Jesus comes in 5 minutes? What if you say, well, it ain't all that important, and 5 minutes later, Jesus comes. He said there'll be some say, He tarries His coming.
Yeah.
And we'll just eat and drink with the drunken. Yeah. We'll just live like them. He's tarrying His coming. He's not coming right now. And he said, he's going to come and find them unawares, not ready. I think of some that I've seen throw in the towel, wreck their life in the end of the race. No crown. They're not going to regain it. Their life shelved, wrecked. Destroyed. Oh, they may be able to accomplish some things for God yet. They may be able to be a witness and a testimony to some degree. But I guarantee you one thing, nobody ever forgot what David did. No one ever forgot what David did. Matter of fact, God didn't forget what David did. The Bible didn't forget what David did. Where are you at today? Are you going to throw in the towel in the last round? Then we got one more church. In every one of these churches, he said, you got to overcome. You've got to overcome. You can't be defeated by this. You've got to overcome it. 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 The last may be the final war, and it may be the worst of all the rest. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these sayings saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth because he gives us his reasoning. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. There never has been a day that the church of America has been rich like it is today. We've got everything at our fingertips. Most of us never dreamt we'd have what we got. Some of you young people maybe grew up with what you have, but some of us, we look back, we didn't have that. Didn't have what we got. We've got more than we've ever had. And if we're not careful, we have need of nothing. If the love issue doesn't get us, if the suffering and tribulation issues don't take us, if the moral issues don't corrupt us, and if we're not dead while we're living, acting like we're alive, and we're using opportunities, Satan's going to load you down with all sorts of things. You'll have more than you've ever imagined within your mind. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And here's what the Lord says. In his mind, he's got a totally different opinion. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We'd be better off poor and right with God than rich and not right with God. We'd be a whole lot better off with a heart full of God than a handful of gold.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Now God doesn't have any withdrawal about you having things. Matter of fact, he talks about the man in Proverbs that's right with God. He said he'll fill his house with good things. But his heart is toward God. He wants to live for the Lord. And heart toward God is what God's looking at. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things God will just add to you. It doesn't bother God to give you. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can do anything he wants to do. But he wants first place in your life. The battle of seeing that, he says in verse number 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Lord, I'd rather be right with you than anything in the world. I'm thankful for these things. We started down the hill just a while ago, coming to church. Karen was praying. She said, Lord, thank you for this nice vehicle to ride to church.
Yes, praise the Lord.
It's a blessing. God doesn't care if you have a nice vehicle, but he wants you to be thankful and give him the credit for it. Are you listening? God's not upset that you have things, but if the things have you, you're in real trouble. He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Holiness is far ahead of fancy clothes. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. You'd be better off to be totally blind and have spiritual vision than to have 100% vision and be spiritually blind. Physically blind, but have spiritual vision. And if a person can see with their heart, they're a lot better vision than a person can see with their eyes only. Amen. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repentance, all through these verses, is the way God wants us to get right with Him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Are you still alert enough to hear Him? Has He knocked on your door lately? And you said, Lord, I hear you. Come in. Come in and talk to me a while. Speak to my heart today. Let your word be like a speaker in my soul. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You get to the place you can't hear. You can't catch His voice. Verse number 21. We're going to close in a minute. We're in a war. It's a bloodbath. We hear of teenagers like we heard of this morning. Tears our heart out. We hear of families, young couples, divorce and ruin, and little children's lives wrecked. It tears our heart out. What we see happening to people. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh. The battle is going to be great in these last days. Every battlefield imaginable. It won't be just on one front. It'll be every front. We'll have to confront day after day after day. Tomorrow it may be this front. Tomorrow may be more than one front tomorrow. And you may be in a conflict with numerous places today. There's only one way to help. That's to come to Jesus. And be honest with the Lord. To him that overcometh. You say, preacher, I'm just not going to deal with it. Then you're going to be overcome by it. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Can you imagine? The Lord says, I remember February 2024. You overcome that. You come to me and you listened. Come up here and sit with me a few minutes. What would just a minute be with Jesus sitting on a throne with him? What would an hour be? What would he say? Well, won't you just stay the rest of the day with me? Is there a battle? Are you interested in winning? Do you know there's a conflict? Are you giving in to the enemy? Are you losing ground? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and to sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. A preacher, I want to be close, but not that close. Then you're losing the battle. Satan knows our weaknesses, and he's willing to throw everything at us. He's going about to seek whom he may devour. We know there's casualties. We can read the Bible. We see them over and over and over. And God warns us. These are in samples, examples. Don't do these same things. Don't be defeated. Don't be defeated. Let's bow our heads and pray. We hear this.